Hey, this is our first episode back. We're using some new equipment. We're using a new process, and we're just a little out of practice. And my mic is a little hot this episode, but I will tell you what. You think my mic is hot? You should see my abs right now. I've been doing those prison-style bodyweight workouts during the quarantine, and woo! I don't mean to toot my own horn, but beep, beep. Anyway, apologies for the audio quality this episode. I'll get it right next time. I've been asking people if they want a Lady and the Tramp pasta with me. Is that not correct?
I don't think we
This
should
is We Have Concerns. Hi, Jeff Cannata.
Hi, Anthony Carboni.
Hello, concerned citizens. We're back.
Yeah.
Gandalf.gif. Like
it's like riding a bike, I guess?
Sure. I also would not recommend riding a bike right now.
Oh, that's I mean, all I'm doing.
Can. Are you really?
My son has learned how to ride a bike, so that is our getaway. That's how we get out into the world and get some sunshine.
It's actually, in all seriousness, it's actually way nicer to ride a bike now in LA.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't feel like I'm going to die at every... I mean, I feel like I'm going to die at every moment still, but for a different reason.
Not being hit by a car now. It's being hit by an invisible thing.
It's being hit by an invisible thing. You know, we talked about this. We've been thinking about bringing the show back for a long time, in all honesty.
Yeah.
We've been working on it for a few months, and we had some very lovely people and a lovely organization helping us that wanted to help us bring it back. And, you know, the world is in a strange place. It's spinning a little more slowly these days, and things are moving a little more slowly. And we just decided it was time to bring it back, and we would do it ourselves because we wanted to do the show now more than we wanted to wait and do it later. You know what I mean?
What we needed was some outside person that said, hey, you should do it. Because we talked about doing it. And then the outside folks were very kind and said, hey, well, we'll help make that happen. And we were like, oh, awesome. Let's all do that. And then that no longer became viable because of the world. And then we were like, well, now we're already in the headspace of thinking we're going to do it. So let's just do it ourselves.
Yeah. And I think the other thing was we've been getting so many messages and DMs and tweets and all the things and emails. And don't think just because we haven't been answering all of them that we don't see them.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where we didn't want to answer until we knew what the answer was. But we know, especially over the last few weeks, people have been like, please bring the show back. Please bring the show back. And I think we needed it too. Like, I need to do this.
Yeah, it's nice to, you know, we have concerns again, and
we have
concerns again, and I think, you know, a lot of people recognized how prescient we were on the whole wash your thumbs issue, you know, because now the whole world's on that page.
One of you didn't wash your thumbs, and listen, I was going to say we're not angry, we're just disappointed, but we're angry and disappointed.
Yeah, all of the above.
And whoever you are, like, just tell us. And we can't guarantee amnesty.
Just tell us.
Kindness.
Yeah.
But here's what we can guarantee. You're in fucking trouble.
Yeah. We're mad.
But tell us.
Just tell us who it was.
If you're a new listener, because we know that a lot of you are, you might know me from some of the other stuff, especially Star Wars stuff that I've been doing over the last few years. Mm. Jeff is obviously part of the Slash Filmcast. He's part of DLC. He has the Dungeon Run. Mm-hmm. So if you're coming because you know any of the things that we've been doing over the last few years, this is our science and culture podcast. This is where we talk about things that literally concern us, or... honestly, sometimes we talk about things that, like, excite us and make us happy, and anything that's going on in science that's kind of putting a little bit of wonder and awe and shock into our heads.
Yeah, science and philosophy, maybe a little history here and there.
Birds,
we're going to get to that. Do not worry, we're going to get to that. But the great thing is, most of the stuff we talk about is supplied by you, the listeners. We got to the point where our Facebook group, our Twitter, well, not really Twitter. We don't like the Twitter feed.
Twitter's
so much.
A garbage place.
It's how things get lost. But
listen,
great
you can
thing
tweet
to do,
at us, but it's garbage.
Yeah. Great thing to do is send us stories or post them to our Facebook group. We can also use our email, which is we have concerns show at gmail.com. Is that right? I haven't even...
That's correct. It's been a few years, but yeah, that's correct. And then we also have a Discord as well, and we'll have all that information for you. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later on in the show. You know, we don't want to make this... we don't want to make this a COVID show. We don't want to make this a coronavirus show. And we know that's what most of the news is and what most of the science news is. But we do feel like occasionally there is a story about that is related to this pandemic that we absolutely need to talk about. And a couple people sent this one in to us, including Stephen Heap, who sent this in on the Facebook group. Thank you very much, Stephen Heap.
Thank you, Stephen.
You know, Jeff, there are so many stories of people in all walks of life across all industries, across all skill sets that are doing things to help make this better, help that, flatten this curve.
Honestly, that's one of the silver linings of this entire situation is you see how everybody has recognized that we're all in this together. We all have different skill sets. I saw the theater wardrobe people here in Los Angeles are sewing fabric masks for people, everybody kind of finding their skill set, a way to help humanity and get through a very difficult time. And I'm glad to see it. You know, that's the one thing that we can take away from this in a positive way.
And what's great is when the great minds of the world apply themselves to this. You know, people, we're talking about researchers, doctors, scientists who may not be in this particular field, understand that they don't know everything about this field, but they're like, what can I do to help?
Science,
man.
Coming together in a time of need and doing what's right. Are you telling me we
have
a story?
Two scientists in close quarters working together,
Setting aside the clear feelings that they have for one another.
They don't have to have feelings for one another.
If they looked across the table and saw something sparkle in the other's eyes, maybe now's the time where they can just put that on the back burner. It's still burning.
I think they're really more interested in helping to cure this thing or slow the spread of it. I don't think they're really thinking about their crushes right now.
I agree with you, but love knows no right time. You know what I'm saying, Anthony?
Sure, I guess.
Love only knows love.
Nah, I feel like... I don't know, man. Under certain stressful situations, you're not even really thinking about that, but fine. We can agree to disagree. Stephen Heap sent something in about an astrophysicist, right?
Whoa.
Smart people.
Yes.
Astrophysicists.
Not his field, you know, I'm sure.
No, but he's got
biological
a PhD.
Pandemics, but...
He's good with that math.
Yeah.
You know, he's good with all that stuff. And he's like, what can I do? How can I help? Is there something that I can create, maybe?
I got to use my science.
Yeah. And this guy, this is an astrophysicist in Australia, I believe. Yep. Dr. Daniel Reardon. And he went out there and he's like, I'm going to help. And he created a device that can help stop the spread of the coronavirus.
That's
and actually,
amazing.
He injured himself. He wound up in the hospital creating this device.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, he devoted, literally, he put his life on the line to create something to slow the spread of the coronavirus.
We're talking about a hero here.
Well, I'll let you decide. I certainly don't want to say one way or the other, but I'll let you decide, Jeff, after I tell you this story.
Are we in a Chronicles of a Badass right now?
Well, once again, Jeff, I don't want to, you know, first of all, I do want to say, Chronicles of a Badass has never really worked out for you.
Right. But now you're coming to the table with this one.
You keep bringing people in that you tell me are badasses, and your definition of badass seems to be just dummies. Dummies who ignore everything and just do something stupid and dangerous seems to be your definition of a badass.
Stupid and dangerous and cool.
All right. Well, once again, I'll let you decide. Dr. Daniel Reardon is a research fellow at a Melbourne University. Melbourne.
Nice.
I always get chastised for how I say it.
No, that was flawless. Because
I want to say Melbourne, and that's wrong. But then I want to say Melbourne because that's what every Australian tells me to say, and they go, it just sounds ugly when you say
wrong.
It.
Yeah, still wrong.
I can't let it go, man. Listen, you come over here and you say hamburger. I don't make you say it in my Midwestern ass accent. You know what I mean?
Melbourne.
Hamburger, gasoline. I don't make you say gas. Like, if you want to say gasoline, you can say
But you know
it.
What? If somebody came over here and said Sepulveda, You know what I'm saying? You'd have an issue with it. You'd say, no, it's Sepulveda.
Oh, but that's not an accent thing. That's a mispronunciation thing.
I mean, I think that what they're saying is it's a mispronunciation of their town. You know what I'm saying?
Agree to disagree. Also, they're a nation of convicts and miscreants.
Well, now you're just indicting an entire nation.
We literally just sent them there to die by spider.
You're saying like, they don't deserve for you to pronounce it correctly? Is that what you're saying?
Here's what I'm saying. They're the descendants of debtors.
Mm.
Of debtors who could not get out of debt, and we put them onto ships, and we sent them over there, and we were like, deal with it on your own, you criminals. They're basically, listen, we've talked about this before. Australia is basically the island prison from that Ray Liotta movie, No Escape.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's all it is.
It's absolutely what it is, and that's why everything there is trying to kill you, is because, you know.
Listen, anybody under 50, there's this Ray Liotta movie called No Escape. Ray Liotta is, God, I don't even know how to explain him to you.
So there's this director that did a really long movie on Netflix last year.
Let's not do it. It's not worth it. So this is a 27-year-old astrophysicist, Dr. Daniel Reardon, who studies, although it's probably Reardon. I don't know, man.
He's a wunderkind, though.
He's
27?
A wunderkind.
Astrophysicist? This is...
he studies pulsars and gravitational waves.
Nice. How is that going to apply to the coronavirus issue? How are we going to get from pulsars and gravitational waves to...
So he was in his house under self isolation.
Yeah, good on him.
And some of the things that he has, some of the equipment he has at home, are like just powerful neodymium magnets.
As one does.
I mean, I have a neodymium magnet at home. Like you can like they sell them as like fun tchotchke science toys, but
in the neodymium district, the neodymiums are us.
Listen, one thing I hate about this social distancing is I haven't been to the neodymium district recently, and I just when you go on a Sunday morning and you know they've just caught all of the neodymium in the nets, real fresh
neodymium is the best. It's at peak magnetism.
Oh, it's erasing every hard drive that you have from 2007. It's so good. It's so good. Your credit
bring
card doesn't work when you try to buy them.
You got
to
bring the kids because they have a great time in the neodymium district.
And it's like, you know, you do have to teach them the difference. Like different cultures have different ideas of what a market should be and what you can sell there. And what's, you know, you don't want your kids saying, ew, gross. These magnets don't look like our fridge magnets at home. Do they really use these? You can't like.
No, that's offensive. And you wouldn't want to do
offensive.
That. You also want to be careful if their kids
you
have
use
any
that as
fillings.
A teaching moment.
Yeah. Yes. If they have any
parent.
Fillings, you never, you know, you don't just want to stay a few feet back from the neodymium district.
Yeah. Ian McKellen is Magneto in the neodymium district.
Oh, yeah.
Charles. Get them off of me. That's terrible, and I'm going to cut it.
When we have... no, you're not. When we have movies again, I can't wait till that one comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when we had movies?
Let's not do this. Let's not devolve into this. We have so many movies. They're coming out. They're all coming out directly to the home now.
It's true.
So he has these powerful magnets, and he's like, I have some electronic equipment. I don't really have experience or expertise in building circuits or things. You know, I had a part that detects magnetic fields, and I was trying to think of like, what can I build? I'm here alone. So can you guess what this life-saving device he tried to build was?
Magnets versus a virus? Is that what we're talking about?
How magnets versus virus. It's the age-old conflict.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no idea how this guy would apply his skill set. I love that he's motivated to do this. I love that he wants to help. He's got the magnets. He's got the wanna. How does magnet plus wanna equal help?
Well, I'll let you know. Here is this brilliant wunderkind, this badass, this hero.
Yes.
Decided, I have a part that detects magnetic fields. I thought that if I build a circuit that could detect a magnetic field... And then everybody wore magnets on our wrist. It would set off an alarm if you brought it too close to your face. And then, like, the buzzing would stop you from touching your face.
Keep your hands away from your face. He's built in. It's the Apple Watch of no face touching.
It's the Apple Watch of no face touching. Thank God for this brilliant man.
So wait. Let me get this straight. So you wear some magnets on your wrist. And then there's also something on your face.
You wear a necklace.
Okay.
You wear like a necklace and around your neck, and then magnets on your wrist. So you look like an extra in like a Blade Runner fan film.
No, there's nothing dystopian about this at all.
There's nothing dystopian about it at all. When you add it to the face masks that we're all wearing.
Yeah. Well, and then when you raise your hand past the necklace, there's some sort of alarm that chimes. Is this the idea?
Right. The magnet and the circuit that detects the magnetic field come together. Mm-hmm. The circuit detects a magnetic field and creates a buzz to stop you from touching your face.
All right.
Pretty simple. Pretty simple device, but you can see how it would help, right?
Sure.
But remember that I told you that this man ended up in the hospital.
Uh-oh.
Remember that I told you that this man nearly gave his life to create the buzzing necklace.
Yeah. Yes. How did he hurt himself?
So first of all, I want you to know that because this guy does not have a lot of experience with electronics, and listen, before anybody tweets at me about an Arduino, shut up. I don't know what it is, and I refuse.
Yeah. And now is not the time. Who has the time now?
I don't have the time to discuss Arduinos right now. There's a pandemic, all right? I don't have time for science or knowledge or intelligence right now. There's a pandemic.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't have time. We're doing a science and knowledge podcast. We don't have time for science and knowledge.
I have time only for the science and knowledge that I talk about when this timer is going. I don't want any facts or figures gumming up my head when I'm trying to figure out how to live through this virus, okay?
You gotta stay pure.
I gotta stay pure. Listen, if there's one thing that I've learned from the great government of this United States of America, I don't need knowledge at a time like this.
Yes.
I need decisive action without knowledge.
That message is clear.
And then maybe some indecisive non-action without knowledge. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, some wishy-washy stuff along there, just to kind of lubricate the action through. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe what I need is just to stand up and say a bunch of shit, and then go home and forget that I said a bunch of shit, and then not do anything.
Yeah,
I don't know. Okay, but what I do know is I don't want to learn anything at a time like this. So this gentleman had no idea. Dr. Reardon, bless his heart.
I'm so on the edge of my seat to find out how he injured himself with the magnets and the necklace.
Well, first of all, he, like he said, he didn't have a lot of experience with this stuff.
Walked too close to a refrigerator.
So he accidentally built the circuit in reverse. He thought he had the stuff to build one thing. He accidentally built a different thing, which is a necklace that screams at you until you touch your face. He thought it would buzz when you go to touch your face. Instead, it buzzes all the time until you touch your face, and then it stops.
Well, that doesn't seem productive in this particular moment in our history.
He built a device that basically yells at you until you give yourself coronavirus.
Please don't tell me he gave himself coronavirus. Please.
He accidentally epoxied the necklace to himself and the magnets, and he couldn't turn it off.
He walked around with his hands on his face for hours and hours.
Hours. And then wound up on a ventilator. No, that's not what happened. So when he made the necklace that yells at you until you make yourself sick, he said, it's a step in a direction. It's not quite what I wanted.
All you got to do is inverse that somehow. That's easy for an astrophysicist.
Listen, I've watched a lot of Doctor Who. You reverse that polarity. That's
reverse
all you do.
Reverse the polarity. Classic polarity reversal. I think the Ghostbusters did that.
This might be the only time when you're making a magnet necklace that reversing the polarity is actually a thing that makes sense. This might be the one time anybody said this that it makes sense. So he says, okay, that idea didn't work. I've still got all this time on my hand. I've got this scientific spirit.
Yeah.
I want to help. What can I do? And he said, well, I was still playing with the magnets. It's the same logic as like clipping pegs to your ears. I clip them to my earlobes and then clip them to my nostril to see if I could do something there. And then things went downhill pretty quickly when I clipped the magnet to my other nostril.
Oh, no.
Reardon,
so he's got magnets in both nostrils?
Yeah.
That are attracted to one another?
Reardon says he placed two magnets inside his nostril and two on the outside.
Oh, God.
And when he removed the magnets from the outside of his nose, the two on the inside got stuck together.
Buddy, 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 what was the plan?
This astrophysicist turned himself into a TikTok of a cat getting paper stuck on its paws. Yeah. You know, when a cat, when an animal gets paper stuck on its paws and it's like wriggling and like standing up on its hind. This man turned himself into that. So the two inside his nose stuck together and he's like, well, there's only one thing to do in this situation. I got to use the remaining magnets to remove them.
Yes. Hey, if there's one thing I know, it's that if you get in trouble because you put too many magnets in your nose, the only solution is more magnets. That is, so you can only fight magnets with magnets. We've learned that if science has taught us nothing, it is that the only defense against magnets is more magnets.
On the day the magnets come and attack,
they will go to our nose first. We know that.
It's going to seem counterproductive, but we're going to have to work with the good magnets. This is another thing that I've learned from sci-fi.
Wait. Anthony, how do I know the good magnets from the bad magnets?
Well, if you have a magnet that you trust, that's a good magnet.
Yeah.
And you hold it up to a bad magnet, they'll repel.
Well, I thought they'll retract. I thought
the
bad magnets had little tiny goatees on them.
Well, there is that too, but some magnets are so small, Jeff.
Oh, you can't see.
You know what
the
I mean? And then
goatees.
What if they shave?
Shaving magnets?
And then what if it's
diabolical.
One of those little, then what if it's one of those little toys that you get when you're a kid where you use the iron shavings and the magnet to make a little beard on a man?
Oh, yeah, no! They have... magnets are beards! That's what they do!
Listen, our science podcast is back. Our award-winning science podcast is back. And we have one thing to say to you. Magnets are beards. If you take anything away from our award-winning science podcast that you've asked us to bring back for 2 years...
Yeah, you're welcome.
This is what you've been waiting for.
Yeah. How would you have known that?
Magnets is beards.
Magnets is beards.
Thank you and good night.
You know what we got to do? We got to do, Anthony, is you got to tell the good magnet something only the good magnet would know.
Mm.
Or ask it something that only it
would
know.
Well, good magnets always tell the truth and bad magnets always lie.
Yeah.
That's how you know. So listen, Dr. Daniel Reardon.
So where we last left off,
he was
Daniel
going to
Reardon,
use more magnets to remove the magnets from his nose.
He had magnets, powerful, powerful magnets.
Neodymium, fresh out the boat.
Stuck in his nose, trying to squeeze his nose together with their maximum power.
Basically, imagine he put them up his nostril. You've got your septum running down the middle there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That cartilage.
Yeah.
They're just hanging on for dear life on either side of that cartilage. Like it's visiting day at magnet prison. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Pressing their hand up against the cartilage to one
or
another.
Or other things. If it's a conjugal visit, you give them their privacy. So he decides he's going to use more magnets to get them out of his nose, right?
Okay.
So he's holding another magnet underneath his nose.
Like to lure the magnets out?
Yeah, to try to pull, because these are neodymium. They'll pull towards each other.
Right.
So he's trying to pull it towards each other, but you get that little ridge at the bottom of your nose where your nostril is.
The nose ridge.
The nose
Foiled
ridge.
Foiled by the nose ridge.
Astrophysicists have been trying to conquer the nose ridge for years, Jeff.
Yes, he's just another
the
in a
Einstein
long line.
Nose ridge. The Einstein nose ridge. So he's trying to pull him out. He can't. You've got that nose ridge. He said he like FaceTimed his partner who works at a hospital and she's just laughing at him.
I mean, good
he's
on her.
Struggling. Yeah,
you know?
Of
you
course.
Know what I'm saying? Good
of
on
course.
Her. Because we all need to find during this time. I think we all need to find ways to just lighten the mood a bit. So when your astrophysicist partner, calls you up and is like,
there's a problem right now. I need your help. It's very important that I need. So why are you laughing?
I'm not laughing at you. I'm under a lot of stress. You know, we have a lot of people here. We're trying to flatten the curve.
Yes,
there's an outbreak. You know, I'm on my rounds right now. And you, what's?
I'm trying to help too. I'm trying to help in the only way I know how, and it's with whatever's laying around here.
Sweetie, remember we had that conversation about how not every moment has to be productive and you kind of need to learn how to sit with yourself for a minute?
Yeah. I remember you saying that. But
I'm sorry,
I also remember you leaving your magnets around.
And you know how I like to fiddle.
Oh, not my magnets. Those were my mother's magnets. That's my family neodymium.
I know, honey. And now it's in my nose.
Ugh.
Hey, here's what I'm thinking.
It's better than where you put them last time, I suppose. So here's what's up. After 20 minutes, he Googled the problem.
Oh.
Found an article. This astrophysicist Googles the problem and says, I lucked out and I found an article about an 11-year-old boy who had the same problem.
Amazing. Amazing. You know, sometimes the smallest among us can save the wisest among us. You know what I mean?
You know, sometimes you need an outsider. And that's what I've been saying since 2016. Somebody who doesn't know anything.
That's right.
Somebody who can come in there.
Teach the teachers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Like his thinking is going to be so out of left field that it's going to, you know, it's going to solve all the problems.
Anthony, this is why you and I have always encouraged people to put things up their nose. Children,
thank you.
First and foremost. It's because they are the explorers. They are the boundary pushers.
Yes.
Who else but them will discover what needs to be done? Right?
Thank you.
Because when the physicists get in trouble, the children, the 11-year-olds who have done it, who've been there, who've stuck it up their nose, they, thankfully, have been blogging, and it's on the internet.
Baby, the emperor's got no clothes, and these 11-year-olds know it.
Yeah.
These 11-year-olds know it. My sister, when she was 4, stuck a marble up her nose, and they had to use an industrial vacuum at the ER to get it out.
Wow.
They thought they were going to have to cut her nostril. They can cut your nostril down on the outside of it at the seam.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
so they can fold it up like a flap and get the obstruction out. And then when they put the stitches in, the stitches are hidden, so that's where you're least likely to have a scar.
Cuz your labial folds.
Cuz of your labial folds. I don't know if that's what they are.
I think that's what they are.
The labial folds? Are you sure?
I think that's not
there. There are labial folds, but I don't know if you're thinking of the right folds.
I think so. I think they're called the same.
Because you're turning bright red.
Wait, the first thing that I would have thought if I was her and or you, when I heard they were going to be using an industrial strength vacuum to suck the marble.
Well, she was 4. She wasn't thinking much except put marble up nose.
Yeah, but I think as a 4-year-old, I would even more think what I'm about to say, which is there any danger of a little brain coming with it? Little brain? A little extra brain coming out the nose?
Just yank the brain out of there with an industrial vacuum. Yeah. Sure. Sure. I think that's a perfectly reasonable thing for a 4-year-old to think.
Right?
Why not?
And a me-year-old?
And a big host of an award-winning science podcast that you repeatedly asked to come back.
Maybe a little brain comes out too?
So he Googles this problem and he says, oh, it turns out that the solution that this 11-year-old boy had, the solution is more magnets.
Oh, man.
You put them on the outside to offset the pull from the ones inside. And as I was pulling downwards to try to remove the magnets, they clipped onto each other and I lost my grip. And then those two magnets ended up in my left nostril while the other one was in my right. And at that point, I had run out of magnets.
Oh, God. You know what I've learned from this, Anthony, is that I got to order some magnets immediately.
Do you know what I've learned from this, Jeff? Or not learned, but this reinforces it. Listen to me very carefully. It doesn't matter how impressive somebody's title is, how learned they are.
Yeah.
Remember that everything is just a trade school. Okay? Everything is just a trade school. It's funny. My brother is a pediatric cardiologist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very impressive. Very impressive. And he's the first person that will tell you, I went to 8 years of mechanic school for the human heart.
I fix
cars.
Yeah, right.
I fix cars, but they're people. He's like, I don't know anything about anything else. I'm not particularly bright in any other way.
Hmm.
He's like, all of these things are trade schools.
Yeah. Very, very deep but narrow knowledge base.
Yeah. And of course, he's also being very, very modest because my brother is fucking brilliant. But I do like the idea of that, right? Where it's no matter how smart you are in however many areas you're smart in, there's something you're dumb at. And you're just a human being.
Can I say what I think this guy is most dumb at?
Magnets?
Well, not even that, really. I think he's dumb at not telling anybody about this.
Right, you know what I'm saying? That's the number one thing, right?
Because
he's alone at home. He didn't have to tell anyone.
He didn't have to share this with anybody. This could have been a shameful secret that he and his partner could have kept to the day they perished.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
A partner could have come home and after their shift and helped him get that. Like, clearly his partner knows how to do this. Partner is a doctor. Partner works at a hospital. Partner can come home and help. But no, the
industrial strength vacuum. You could just industrial strength vacuum that right out.
I don't think that would work with the magnets.
No,
because the magnets. There was nothing holding the marble in except that it was wedged in.
Yeah.
The magnets have that natural force. But anyway, he decided he was going to use pliers.
Oh God.
To get him out.
We're in a Total Recall Arnold Schwarzenegger type situation.
Kids, ask your parents.
Remember that scene with the thing in the nose? Remember that? With the glowy ball in the nose that he pulls out?
Oh, you mean the Colin Farrell movie? As I was pulling downwards to try and remove the magnet. Yeah. So he ran out of magnets. He was like, I'm going to use these pliers. Every time I brought the pliers close to my nose, my entire nose would shift towards the pliers.
Oh!
And the pliers would stick to the magnets.
Oh! Amazing. Amazing.
So the partner's like,
he needs plastic pliers.
You're going to the hospital. He needs a very specific type of porcelain pliers that only one craftsman in the Swiss Alps makes. It's very expensive. It's the pliers that they use to apply gold filigree onto Fabergé eggs.
Oh, they're exquisite.
It's exquisite. You'd have to get them on loan from the Russian government. This whole thing is going to turn into a heist. My partner took me to the hospital that she works in because she wanted all of her colleagues to laugh at me.
Oh.
Yes. Good on her.
This is
good on her.
This is the hero of the story.
Listen
this is
me
the
very
hero
carefully.
Of the story. Providing entertainment and levity to hardworking doctors who need it most. You know what I'm saying?
Here's what I'll say. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Shame works. Shame is how we learn things. Shame, social shaming.
Yeah.
Listen, obviously there's too much social shaming sometimes, right? We have that.
Sure.
But this is how animals learn. This is how people learn. This is how we all learn. This is how Baby Yoda learns not to eat frogs, right? Baby
yes.
Yoda eats one frog and it's like, oh, that Baby Yoda ate a whole frog. Baby Yoda eats a second frog. There are other kids around like, yo, Baby Yoda, are you sure you want to eat frogs? And Baby Yoda's like, nah, dude, I don't eat frogs.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah,
Shaming works.
This is exactly like Baby Yoda.
This is exactly like Baby Yoda.
This astrophysicist being shamed by his doctor partner to her friends is exactly like Baby Yoda.
Yep. Thank you. I'm glad you see it. That's all I'm saying. Doctors thought it was quite funny, making comments like, this is an injury due to self-isolation and boredom. A team of... they have a little bit of the hospital record. A 27 male with FB in nose.
Facebook?
I think full blockage or something like that.
Yeah.
2 hours ago, had 2X neodymium, approximately 7 millimeter in diameter, strong magnet stuck up bilateral nostrils, stuck to each other via septum bilaterally, attempted removal, tried using 2 other magnets up left nostril, ended up with 3X magnets up left nostril, 1X up R, all stuck together via septum, denies difficulty breathing, denies further magnets, because they have to ask. They have to ask, dude.
You have to
listen,
tell me if there's
more
magnets.
Did you put magnets anywhere else? We're doctors. It's confidential.
No, if there's I promise.
Are you sure? Anywhere you're embarrassed. You don't have to be embarrassed. If you put a magnet anywhere else, you can tell me.
But you guys all laughed before about...
I mean, we will laugh, but it won't leave this room.
But that's what my partner said, and then she brought me here, and everybody's laughing again.
And putting it on our gram, but
yeah,
we don't have a lot of followers. Don't have a lot of followers.
Okay, when you said but,
I get you.
There's something I need to tell you.
Nope, say no more. Say no more. Those aren't your mother's magnets, are they? She's going to be so sad. When they got the 3 out from the left nostril, the last one fell down my throat.
Oh my God. Into the stomach or like out? It was like a magic trick, like came out on his tongue. He's like, blah, blah.
That could have been a bit of a problem if I had swallowed or breathed in, but I was thankfully able to lean forward and cough it out. Needless to say, I'm not going to play with the magnets anymore. Shame works.
Shame works. I love this guy. I think this guy is so a badass. You know what, Anthony? You talk all the time, so many episodes of our show, you talk about how we've lost something. The 19th century...
The gentleman scientist.
This gentleman scientist. The true pioneers of experimentation. Not just experimentation, self-experimentation, right?
I'm bored. Let's drink some mercury. What happens?
Let's do it. What are we going to do? Let's put some pins in my eyeball. Who knows what happens?
Who knows? Does this guy heal?
This guy is in that tradition. This guy's living that dream that you laud so frequently.
Listen, you're right. You're 100% right. And hats off to Dr. Daniel Reardon, really. I mean, because here's what's up. Here's what I will say about this. Listen, was this all dumb? You bet. You bet this guy's a dummy. Jeff, would you, now that we've gotten through this story, would you like to award him a hero or badass?
I mean, I think it's pretty clear that the hero and badass in this story is his partner.
Sure.
She's the hero here.
She's the hero. She's the real hero. Yeah. But of course, the story's about the idiot. but I will say this, as dumb as this guy is, at least in his boredom, he's like, what can I do?
I love that. The impulse to help and to use whatever is available, even if that is stupid.
Yeah. Look, man, should you maybe not started messing with magnets in your nose? Of course. Of course. Maybe by the time you got to magnets in your nose, you should have thought to yourself, maybe I'm just bored. Maybe I should finish Tiger King.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, maybe I should read a book. Take a walk around the block.
I'm a little worried what watching Tiger King might inspire in this fella, but you know.
Right? But I do love that in this time, because so many times, like, I know in myself, at least for the first week of this, it was just like, man, I'm gonna lie on the couch and I'm gonna ignore this and it's really bad and I'm just gonna obsess over how bad it is.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna watch a lot of TV and I'm gonna eat a lot of junk. And this dude at least was like, I'm a smart guy. There must be something I can do.
Yeah. I like
and
that.
And I love that.
Yeah. So you know what? You're not all dumb, Reardon.
But you're not a badass. Notice he didn't give you that badass status. if you're an old listener, somebody who has listened in the past, I'm not going to say anything about how old you are. I only talk about how old Jeff is.
Wait.
Which is very, very old.
We agreed that if we were coming back to the show that we wouldn't discuss that anymore.
No, we didn't. You're senile. So, in your old age, you may have noticed that this episode is already running kind of long. And the reason for that is we're no longer doing 3 short episodes a week, which is what we used to do. Now we're going to do multiple stories in 1 episode a week. And I think it's nice. I think it's nice. We get a little more time to hang out with each other.
You know what? It makes this show feel fresh and different.
Ooh, God, yeah. But one thing that has not changed is the fact that we have a Patreon available if you are so inclined and you want to support the show. That is a great way to do it.
Yeah.
We have right now, we have 843 concerned citizens helping us out, helping us make the show. And not only are they helping us make the show, they're getting a little something back. So if you support us on Patreon at the dollar level, you get an invite to our Discord channel. Discord channel is beginning to pop off again, which is very exciting. I love everybody in our Discord. They're wonderful people.
Yeah, and I'm super excited now that I have discovered how Discord works, and it's become an integral part of my life because I'm stuck in my house. so I'm excited to be much bigger part of that this time around, and the community is fantastic. That's one of the things that's been so extraordinary about coming back to the show is the community never left.
It's been amazing. There's still 2,000 people strong in the Facebook group. It's been wonderful. So $1 a month gets you onto our Discord. It also gets you our patron-only feed on Patreon. $3 a month gets you the bonus cold opens. Jeff and I always start with like a little warm-up conversation before we start the show. And if you're wondering what we were talking about in that conversation, you get those as audio files. $5, you get a monthly hangout with us. We do a video hangout with everybody at the $5 level. I would say that we'll probably wind up doing more than one of those a month just because of boredom and isolation.
We're here. We're ready to talk and chat. Hang out with us.
For $10 a month, you can watch us live stream our recording sessions, and you also get early episodes. And then there was a secret mail level where we sent you something every month. That seemed unsanitary, and so we're figuring out what to do with that.
Yes. Yeah. We decided, hey, let's not send people our germs.
Yeah, but if you want to support us now that we're back and we're making the show, we would really appreciate it. Head to patreon.com/wehaveconcerns to find out how. Jeff, what have you been up to? What have you found in our Facebook groups?
Well, Anthony, you know that one of the things that we were very diligent about throughout our run of 600 episodes was keeping people abreast of what the birds were up to.
Listen, I don't fucking trust birds.
Nobody should. They're pranksters. They're hellions. Weird. They're smarter than they let on.
They'll take a sandwich right out of your hand, dude.
They lure you into a sense of superiority. You feel like, oh, there's just a dumb bird squawking along. And then all of a sudden they do something diabolical that shows you that they've been plotting and scheming this entire time.
They shit wherever they want.
Also that.
And I don't trust anything that shits wherever it wants.
So the birds... We got this story. This story was posted on the Facebook group by Adam Brooke. Thank you, Adam. This is about what the birds are up to now while we are all indoors. Because, as you know...
it's their world now.
It is. You could argue it has been their world, and we've just been living beneath them in
they
prime...
They have six senses, at least.
Oh, it is... It's horrifying.
I don't like it.
We've just been subject to their pranks for so long. And now that they are able to reclaim areas that were previously overrun by humans, or worse yet, come looking for the humans that used to just leave their garbage and their food scraps around for them to feed on, and they don't find that, the birds are none too happy about that situation.
I believe it.
So here's an article that Adam sent us. This is about people living in East Yorkshire, on the East Yorkshire coast in the UK. This is about a bunch of angry seagulls. Seagulls, some of the worst birds, as we know. Thousands of them flocked to the East Yorkshire coast while humans were there to feed on bread that people would... tossed down to swoop down and and you know, just get what they could. They're scavengers.
Yeah, the occasional eye of a child.
Places like Bridlington and Hornsea.
Oh, Bridlington. Oh, the days where we would have crumpets in Bridlington.
Oh my goodness. Hornsea mornings.
Oh, please, with a good scone and a fucking and a cream. That heavy cream and the jam. Do you put your jam on your scone first, or do you put the cream on your scone first?
You got to go cream, then jam. That's the only way to do it in Hornsea.
Yeah, in Hornsea, that's the way they do
it. They call it the Hornsea way.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
It's part of their coat of arms.
You know how in Bridlington...
They're football teams. They're footballers.
They're
footballers on their jerseys have the Hornsea crest, which is just the Dover cream.
It's just the instructions for how to place your cream and then jam.
Yeah, and then in Middle English it says cream first always.
In Middle English.
Yeah. Like Chaucer style.
I
know a lot about England. You were thinking of Middle Earth.
I was thinking of Middle Earth.
You were thinking that I was talking about Elvish or some shit, you fucking nerd.
I thought you were like, Tolkien is how everyone speaks.
Speak friend and enter is what you thought I was doing. You fucking idiot. Well,
you know how in Bridlington and Hornsea, everyone listens to the East Riding Council? You know how they take their cues from the East Riding Council?
My family, we would get up every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And turn on the shortwave and sit around the hearth and listen to the East Riding Council.
Yeah. You got to find out what the conditions are out there for writing.
I would put on my spats and my waistcoat. Yeah. And sometimes if we knew it was a very special address from the Riding Council, a top coat.
Oh, and your little hat that makes you look like a penis.
Yeah, the hat, yeah. And the penis hat is what we call it.
So, doing their duty and keeping everyone up to date, the East Riding Council put out a statement saying coastal residents are being advised that due to lack of food sources, seagulls may be more hungry than normal and may behave aggressively. Whoa. Residents are asked not to eat on seafront areas, to encourage the birds to fend for themselves away from towns. And it seems that there are some people that are not taking that East Riding Council advice seriously.
Well, because first of all, can I say that I love that the announcement was literally, there's less food, so birds may be more hungry.
Yes.
Animals are eating less and therefore might be more hungry.
Yeah.
First of all, thank you, East Riding Council. So
I'm giving you that information you need.
What are these incidents, though? These aggressive, because I would say that seagulls, having grown up in the hellscape of Florida,
yeah,
we had a lot of gulls.
Yeah.
And those gulls were fucks. But they are Florida gulls, which makes them 10 times more fuckery.
That's true, man. If I've learned anything watching Tiger King, it's
Tiger King's in Oklahoma, dude. It seems like it's in Florida, but it's in Oklahoma.
I feel like that entire show takes place in Tampa.
Everybody feels that way, and they're not wrong to think it. I'm not chastising you for thinking it.
Okay.
I'm just letting you know that you're factually incorrect. Spiritually, you're correct.
Okay, good.
That could have happened anywhere in Florida.
I'm just going to keep my spiritual righteousness and move
it's
on.
You know what, it's if there's one thing that I've learned on Tumblr, an archive of our own, I'm not going to take your headcanon away from you.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? I'm not worried about the authorial intent of reality. Reality may say that was in Oklahoma. I don't care.
Right.
If your headcanon says it was in Florida,
feels like Tampa.
Great.
Yeah.
Then it was in Florida.
So residents in Bridlington are claiming, quote, seagulls are attacking babies.
Whoa.
Seagulls are attacking babies, and
hell
one
yeah.
Seagull allegedly, now, everyone's innocent until proven guilty.
Every seagull deserves due process.
This is alleged, but one seagull allegedly.
Even fucking birds deserve due process.
We have rights.
Criminals.
We have rights.
Birds' rights now.
One seagull allegedly swallowed a chihuahua whole in Devon.
Get wrecked. That's amazing.
So I'm imagining a very small chihuahua or a very large seagull, or maybe both.
No, it's definitely both. And here's how I'm picturing it, Jeff. You know those, like, you know those people who, for some god-awful reason, and I don't know why, just want to own a teacup chihuahua?
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, hey,
put
science.
It in their purse. They want to put it in their purse or their fanny pack.
Their fanny pack, whatever. And they say, hey, science, can you breed me something that is small and horribly frail and always in pain,
yeah,
and can't breathe and is always cold and is scared and has horrible, horrible fucking health problems.
And looks delicious to seagulls.
Is there a way that you can do this for me? And dog breeders were like, buddy, buckle up, because we already done it.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand people who want it. They're always like, teacup chihuahuas are always shivering and they're always angry and sad. It just seems like they look like Dobby the fucking house elf, you know?
Yeah, they do. In the same way that Dobby was always sort of like sad and wanted to be set free, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like that's the same situation.
Yeah, but you get this feeling that Dobby's sad and wants to be set free, but has no idea what he would do if he was set free.
Yes.
Like the chihuahua is so fucking mad and so sad all the time and is just like, I hate this life. But what life is worth living,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That's, like, listen.
But we created that, so.
We made that happen from a wolf.
Yeah, we took a majestic.
God.
Primal wolf.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, like.
And we made it seagull feed, dude.
We, like, yada, 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 and then we got seagull food.
Here's what's up. I don't believe that a seagull attacked a baby, and I don't believe that a seagull ate a chihuahua whole. I believe that people are saying this, and I believe that somebody maybe believes it, or maybe somebody started this story just to see if it would spread.
Well, there has been some interviews with people who live in Bridlington on
Scotland Yard
on Good Morning Britain, of course.
Scotland Yard of television.
And by interviews, I mean she tweeted at Good Morning Britain.
Great.
So one woman tweeted
there have been some interviews, and by interviews, I mean somebody tweeted something.
Somebody tweeted at a place that does interviews.
You know what that is? That's journalism in 2020, baby. Yeah. That's what Jeff just did.
Exactly.
According to reports, and by reports, I mean this one tweet.
So this woman tweeted, quote, "We live in Bridlington and
beautiful countryside, Bridlington.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Oh, please.
And have only been attacked viciously by gulls while our food was by our chest." So it seems to me, this is typical stiff upper lip talk. You know what I'm talking about? I admire this. It's like, hey, if you don't want to get attacked by the birds, don't put your food near you.
Oh no, it's my fault. My fault. It's not, it weren't the bird. It weren't the bird. It's my fault. I shouldn't have been there. It's on me. I was holding the sandwich up. It looked very appetizing.
The bird came right to your face and pecked your eye clean out.
I've got one of those faces. It probably wasn't the bird's fault. It was probably something I've done. I'm terribly sorry.
Ma'am,
please
we found the bird.
I'm so sorry.
We found the bird. The bird had your address written down in its pocket.
I probably said something or did something to offend the bird. I apologize.
We tracked
a big deal. He only pecked out one of my baby's eyes. My baby has another eye.
Right, right.
You know, I don't even want to commit to my accent, you know?
Right.
Ma'am,
we talked to the other birds and all of them said that bird said, "Hey, dare me to attack that lady and her baby."
It's my fault. My fault.
So she goes on to say, "They are very violent and attack babies too. I've had a cut head before after being attacked."
Man,
a cut head.
Know.
You don't want a cut head, dude.
No, that'll bleed a lot.
Yeah.
That's scary. You certainly don't want a scar from a seagull attack, because that's an embarrassing scar to explain. It's not a cool I mean, it's somewhere, I think, on the scale of like lame scar to like badass scar, it's somewhere right in the middle where it's like, well, I was attacked by an animal, right? So that's like plus 4 points.
Yeah.
But the animal was a seagull, which is like minus two, because that's stupid burb.
Yeah.
And then like, I don't know, but it was aggressive and it was like a starving, angry seagull. I don't know. Is it a stupid scar or not?
I think it's a stupid scar. I think you took away far too few points for being seagull. You gave 4 for being animal attack, which is perfectly fair. But then you said seagull and you only took 2? I feel like, because if I'm listening to the story and I hear I was attacked by an animal, I go, oh my God, amazing. What must you have been doing?
Well, I'm not saying that's how they were going to explain it.
Mm.
I'm trying to do the calculus beforehand.
Oh, I see. You want to get to your sum before you even launch into this story.
Yeah, because I want to know if I have that scar.
Yeah.
If that's a scar I even want to say anything about before I go in public.
Well, people are going to ask about it. It's right there on your face.
Well, polite people wouldn't, Jeffrey.
I'm asking about your cut head.
Hey, why you look different? The number of times I've just been out with Jeff and his son, and Jeff's son, perfectly quiet, very polite, have nothing but good things to say about young Kylo.
Oh, he knows better. His mom teaches him better. Well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But Jeff will just be like, that person looks different than us. Why? And I'm just like, Jeff, and baby Kylo is like 4 years old. It's just like, whoa, Dad.
Yeah, Dad. You're embarrassing me, Dad.
That's not cool, Dad. You have mark on face. Why?
I want story. So, to sum up,
so they're more aggressive. They are attacking.
Yeah,
have they verified that they're attacking? Have they verified these reports?
Well, the East Riding Council is,
who we trust implicitly.
Yes, is reminding residents that although its nature reserves remain open, the advice is that people should take their permitted daily exercise near their homes, avoid a non-essential journey into the wild, avoid the birds, and you know, keep your social distancing as much as possible, not just between you and people, but between your sandwich and a bird.
I mean, that's just we remember those classic posters from World War II.
Yes.
Keep your sandwich away from birds by order of King George says, keep your sandwiches away from birds.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Keep sandwich away from birds.
Yeah.
Keep calm and don't bird.
That famous Churchill quote, you know?
Yeah. When you're going through birds, keep going.
Yeah.
You
don't
know,
look
and
back at the birds.
That was when Churchill had one of his famous giant hoagies. And he was walking through the park, and these birds just attacked him. And he was like, listen, there's nothing I can do. When you're going through birds, keep going.
Yeah.
And he just kept walking.
Yeah.
He just kept on walking. And that's why he was the greatest prime minister. That he was the prime minister, right?
I don't know.
He was he was head boy of Slytherin.
Yeah.
He's a Hufflepuff. You have to do that, right? Like when you're born in England, they give you your blood type in your house.
Yeah.
I know a lot about England, but there, I have some gaps.
Award-winning science podcast that is back. Due to popular demand.
It's exactly what you wanted, baby. Magnets is beards. Listen, I think this is really funny, because if we do want to take like the cultural, sociological, like ecosystem, biological, like the whole science angle, if we really do want to be a science podcast, what I think is interesting about that is we know on a day-to-day basis, everything we do as a society is affecting animals, right?
Yeah.
And we see that in positive and negative ways. We see it in, you know, in suburbs where there are huge deer populations now because those suburbs used to be forests like 60 years ago or whatever, right? We see it in, you know, we see it in things that are thousands of years old. Like if you go to Japan and you go to Nara and the deer like will just bow to you and eat right out of your hand because they know that that's how people get food, or that's how they get food from people, right? Like we change everything about animals all the time. Like, and this is not the only story I've seen about this. Like in Thailand and in other parts of Southeast Asia where there are like huge like macaque monkey populations, right? That
you're about to talk about macaque?
I feel like we did this.
I know. I know, but I enjoyed it.
And
I also
feel like 12-year-olds have done this one.
Yeah. That's why I like it. Anyway, go ahead. So the monkeys
are like kind of aggressive. They say like, hey, you know, don't hold up food, because if you hold up food, the monkeys know that you're giving them food. And if you're not, they're going to be pissed because it looks like you are.
Right.
And so these are friendly but potentially aggressive monkeys. And now that tourism isn't coming through Southeast Asia, and now that people aren't feeding these monkeys all the time, these monkeys aren't environmental foragers the way they used to be.
Right.
They know to come to town square and get food from people. And these monkeys are now forming gangs.
Yeah.
Roving rival gangs of monkeys in town square fighting over the few bits of food there are.
Are they at least singing to each other?
They are snapping, but it's not entirely in time.
Ugh.
I mean, they're monkeys, man. It's amazing that they're just snapping and wearing the little jackets.
Yeah, that is. I guess we have to take our wins as we get them. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, listen, are they triple threats? No. But the fact that they could like make their own costumes must mean something.
I guess
on a regional theater level, at least they're useful. You know?
Can I say something about these monkeys?
Please do.
I feel like these monkeys are us, and that's what I'm afraid of, because when our food source goes away, which I hope it does not, I don't want to get too dark here, but I don't know how to get food other than go to my town center and give someone money for it. So that's my fear, is that when it all comes crashing down, we're all just the monkeys. And I'll be very undesirable to any gang looking for new members.
I mean, every roving gang in the apocalypse is going to be looking for a good DM, Jeff.
You think?
I think so. I think your skills will not go unneeded You know?
Well, I appreciate you saying that because I got very little else to offer. You know,
let me tell you something. In the apocalypse, all players become like rules judges,
and
nothing
rough.
Really gets done because like tensions are high. You know what I mean?
You don't want to be the guy that argues about whether it's a D4 or a D6 when we're just scavenging for food. You know what I'm saying?
And the DMs are going to be the ones that are going to keep society moving. You know what I mean?
It's
going to be like
it.
Well. What you did was creative, so I'm not going to make you roll, and maybe even take a little bardic inspiration for that, Jimmy, for saying that we should throw a brick through that Best Buy window.
I like
it. You know, I understand what you're saying, Paul, where it's like there's no electricity anymore, and so why do we need laptops? But you know what? We're out, we're here, and it seems like fun. Let's loot.
I like it. I like arbitrating every dispute, every inner gang dispute, arbitrating it with a D20. I like that, you know?
Of course you do, you fucking nerd. You thought I was speaking Elvish earlier.
I did. I legitimately did.
But I do think it's really interesting, and you're right. You're right in that I am concerned about what people become when they feel threatened.
I don't want to have to swallow an entire chihuahua whole just to nourish myself. You know what I mean? Or magnet.
Yeah. I mean, and that's okay. So I have a story that I want to tell.
Okay.
About something that's been that happened to me about a week and a half ago. We're 3 weeks in to shelter at home now.
Oh God, did you have magnets lying around?
I did, and I don't anymore, and I don't want to say where they are.
Okay.
I'm just gonna, you know, bring up that classic quote, "This too shall pass." And so listen. It's kind of like you and I know that there's kind of an unspoken rule where people who do the sort of things that we do for a living, we don't talk about money or needing money.
Right.
I think a lot of people don't, right? Like it's kind of a cultural thing.
It's gauche.
But especially like people in our position, we have like really cool, fun jobs and we don't talk about money. Right? Because our trade-off is we have a cool, fun job. But, you know, and so I don't want to get too into it, but what I will say is the way our jobs work is if you see us on camera, we got paid for that day. Any day you don't see us on camera, we did not get paid, right? Which is
fine. And some days we could be on camera and not get paid.
Sure. Sure. But in theory, that's the way the system works. And, you know, when this thing started going into effect, you know, it had been over a month since I had worked.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm very fortunate in that I have like a little bit of savings and I'm doing okay. Like, this is not a woe is me story. And I don't want to start it off as a woe is me story because it's not. But there is a part of me, because I grew up in a family that didn't have money, because I had a small portion of my life when I lived in New York where I was without a home, I do get very stressed, as we all do, about money.
Yeah.
And when money's not coming in, I think to myself, okay, we got to get money coming in however we can do it. And I got a little panicky, even though I didn't need to, even though I have a little bit of money in the bank. I was just like, no, who knows how long this is going to last. I got to do something, right?
Oh God, what did you do, Anthony? What did you do?
I fed chihuahuas to seagulls for money.
Oh God. It's very lucrative. Very lucrative.
I did it on Live Leak. So I thought, what job can I do, and what job will be available, and what job will be available for this entire thing? And I thought, oh, delivery driver.
Wow. Yeah, that's for sure.
I was like, I could see if I could be like an Amazon Prime driver.
Yeah.
All anybody's doing right now is ordering Amazon stuff. That's all. Jeff Bezos is fucking crushing it. His employees are fucking dying, but he's fucking crushing it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, cool, I'm going to sign up to be an Amazon driver. So I did. And I went in to work a shift.
Wow.
I guess they'll
just let anybody do that, huh?
They literally will, Jeff. There is a background check. Like, they told me they run a background check, and it took like 48 hours, but I mean...
But you've hidden all that stuff so well.
There were some red flags that I feel like if they had run a real background check would have come up, but that's cool. That's cool.
You've done a good job hiding all of that, all the years when you were a doctor.
I mean, some would say that I was never a doctor, Jeff.
Yeah, but Amazon doesn't need to know that.
I mean, and I would say that what's important is that I have the heart of a doctor.
Yes, in a box in my glove compartment of your car.
Exactly. but I did not say that because Amazon likes to know that you keep a clean car. So I go, I was like, I'm going to do this shift. So I call my, the first thing I do is I call my ex because we've been passing the dog back and forth. Like she takes the dog for a week. I take the dog for a week during this.
Yeah.
Because she, you know, everybody's stressed. It helps her out a little bit to have the dog for a few days. So I was like, look, she also has respiratory issues. I was like, look, I want you to know that I'm doing this because I don't want to expose you to anything. Right? Yeah. I don't know how many people I'm going to see. I don't know what's going to happen to me health-wise. I'm just letting you know. And we'll take this however you feel. So she says, it's cool. Let me bring you some of these masks. A couple years ago, when the wildfires were happening, I bought a bunch of N95 masks. They were like $2 each. You used to be able to just go to Home Depot and buy yourself an N95 mask.
Yeah.
Outside of this situation, they're nothing special, right? So she has a sleeve of them left over and she brings them over and I was like, we should really donate these. And she's like, I already tried. I can't because the box was open. They can only take them sealed to make sure that they're, you know, sterile. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll take them. I don't feel like I need them. I don't want to wear them. I have a fabric mask. And she's like, okay, well, I just feel better with you having them. So I go to work my shift. You show up to a warehouse. It's just as dystopian as you would think. The app tells you where to go.
Yeah.
You show up to a warehouse. Your phone beeps at you to let you know that your cart of deliveries is ready. Somebody in a warehouse packs the cart. You put the cart into your car. You scan every bag to let Amazon know that you have everything.
You're not interacting with another human being in any step of this situation?
So here's what's up. There's a big loading ramp where there are people standing around waiting for their orders to be ready. And everybody's standing pretty far apart. Some people have masks on. Some people have gloves on. Some people don't, right? This is like a week and a half ago. I'm wearing a mask and gloves. Some people are looking at me at my mask and gloves like I'm a crazy person. Some people are looking at my mask and gloves like, fuck, I wish I had a mask and gloves. Amazon is not providing a mask and gloves to anybody.
Yeah, but that Jeff Bezos is doing so well.
Has anybody checked on Jeff Bezos during this? Because I hope he's okay.
He's crushing it. He's crushing it.
Thank God. Some of the warehouse employees are wearing a mask and gloves, but I can tell that they brought them for themselves. When you go into the warehouse to grab your cart, because multiple people get called at once, and you've got to complete these deliveries within a certain time.
Was this just you wanting to become the cyberpunk delivery person from Snow Crash? Was that part of your calculus?
It's my Death Stranding moment.
Yeah.
It's my Sam Porter Bridges. It's my Kevin Costner is the postman. I was like, who knows when money's going to be coming in, you know?
Yeah,
I'll do this once and I'll see if it's easy. I'll see if I can handle this.
Okay.
I was talking to some people in line. There was like this Russian family that had just moved to America like 8 months ago. And it was a father and two sons. And they book shifts in a row together because they're all over 18 and that's how they make money for the family. And I was like, is that how you make all your money? And they're like, no, dad is also an Uber driver and a Postmates driver and blah, blah. You know, I was
gig economy, baby.
Gig economy. And I was like, does this make you enough money? And they're like, not really, but we're getting by. And I was like, great, great, great. Super cool. Anyway, I get my cart, I scan my stuff. I'm coming into like, not the closest contact, but a little bit of contact. But, you know, I've got my mask and gloves, so I feel like I'm okay. I go out to take my deliveries. I'm put on a route in Pasadena. If you're not familiar with Pasadena, it's a little more suburban. It was mostly older families that I was delivering things to, people who were afraid to go out. And I get like 7 deliveries for the night. As I'm going from house to house, I'm like putting down the bags. You know, as I put down the bags and say like and swipe that they're delivered, it like alerts the people. I can see them in the house. Some of them are like waving to me. Some of these, like there are like older women behind the glass, like, oh, thank you so much. Like we can't go out. Please stay safe. Like keep your masks on. We're glad to see that you're in safety stuff. I'm feeling really weird, weird because it does feel like Death Stranding.
Yeah.
Like it does.
Yeah.
And I'm out driving, but I feel like I'm doing something at least, right? Like these are people who are reminding me, we can't go out. Thank you for doing this, right? And I know I'm not doing the goodest of deeds, right? Like I'm delivering for fucking Amazon, but at least I'm doing something.
Oh, people need that shit, man.
Yeah. We're getting to I get to the second to last delivery. And I'm driving on the 2, which is a highway, and I can tell that my tire's just gone flat.
Oh, man.
I can feel like my tire's just gone flat. And this is what it feels like to work in this sort of gig economy, right? Like, I know that my base pay for being an Amazon Prime Now driver today, for working a 2.5 hour shift, my base pay is $60. With tips, it could be $130 if people tip generously, right? But that's what they tell me, the range that I should expect. I know that getting a new tire and getting it changed is going to be like $100.
Right.
I have just lost all my money for the shift.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. At this point, I'm questioning why I'm doing it anyway, right? I'm like, why am I doing this? I have 2 months. I have like 2 months worth of money for living in the bank at least. Some people don't, and they're not out here. What am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, okay, I'm not going to pull over on the 2. I'll go to my delivery because it's 4 minutes away. So I turn on my hazards. I ride on the rim to my delivery.
Oh, okay.
It's this like tiny little like side street, like little suburban thing, you know, really cute little side street. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll deliver these. I'll switch to my spare and I'll deliver the last thing. I should call Amazon and see what I'm supposed to do. And Amazon's like, yeah, don't worry. You can either deliver it or you can say that you couldn't deliver it and bring it back to the warehouse. And I'm like, dude, by the time I do this, the warehouse is going to be closed. I was working an evening shift. I was like, I might as well deliver it. And they're like, okay, just text the person and then email us because we've been getting a lot of like, you know, the app might mark you as like a late delivery. So you might want to email us just so we can remove that from your record. And at this point, I'm like, fuck your record, you fucking Black Mirror fucks. I'm out here in the middle of a fucking pandemic delivering people LaCroix. And you're telling me that I don't want demerits on my fucking record, Black Mirror? Eat shit. But out loud, I'm like, cool, thank you. Because this person's not Jeff Bezos.
Right.
This person's a fucking hourly phone bank worker.
Sure.
So I go and I deliver my stuff, and I hear like growling behind me, and I turn around and there's this older guy, bald, wire rim glasses, kind of tall. If you've ever seen Frank Oz, he looks a little bit like Frank Oz.
Yeah.
And he's walking.
Was he growling like this?
Well, it was his Afghan that was growling.
Oh.
He had like this dog that was just growling at me, and he's like, "Hey, where'd you get a flat tire?" And I'm like, on the 2 a minute ago. And he's like, So, you think you're going to be able to drive much longer on that? I was like, nah, man. Cause by the way, and I was like, this is a joke, right? Cause as I came in, it was making that like flat tire noise.
Yeah,
it was like, you know?
Yeah. Amazon's here.
Amazon's here. Hello, it's me, your friendly delivery man. Don't worry about the fucking mask and gloves. I'm like, no, I can't drive any further on this. I'm probably here. And he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, walking the dog. And I was like, cool. Well, you have a good walk and a great evening. And I go to like grab the bags. He's like, so who do you know here? And I was like, and I turn, I'm like, literally no one, man. And I grab the bags. He's like, oh, delivery. What are you delivering? I was like, I don't look inside them, dude. Come on.
Weird.
Yeah, it's like, please don't, like, just don't be weird with me right now. I'm clearly in a thing.
Yeah.
You know? I drop off the delivery. This woman, I remember her name is Patty, because I can see everybody's name and address, right? So, her name is Patty. And Patty's like, oh, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. We're like high risk. We can't go, like, the same thing I've been hearing, but it's nice to hear, right? I go back. I start jacking up the car. And I have one of those weird jacks where, like, the manufacturer of your car was like, I guess we'll give you a jack.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
you know what I mean?
A jack. Yeah.
Where you got to, like, connect some Tinker toys together.
It falls apart every 4 seconds.
Yeah. And you're, like, trying to, like, it doesn't have a real handle. And every time you turn the handle, it falls apart. You got to rehook it.
Oh, I've been there so many times, dude.
It fucking sucks. So, but I'm like, this is still going to be quicker than AAA. So I'm like jacking up the car, and all of a sudden there's a light behind me. And I turn around, and it's the dude without his growling dog. And he goes,
Is it full dark now?
It's full dark. It's like 8 p.m. at this point.
Okay.
My shift was like supposed to be from 6 to 8:30.
Okay.
So he's got a flashlight on, and I turn around, and it's him. And he goes, is there, like, can I do anything? Is there anything I can, do you need anything? And I was like, no, man, I'm good. I'm good. And he's like, okay. So you're an Amazon driver, huh? I was like, yeah, this is literally my first and probably last day. And he's like, oh, well, what do you normally do? And we talk a little bit about it. And he's like, you know, I'm going to call Rick.
Rick?
Yeah, I'm like, okay. He's like, no. He's like, you broke down on a good street. He's like, Rick's like the handy guy here. He's like, we're all a little older, but we help each other out. Rick's got all the tools. He'll be able to help. And I was like, I mean, I feel like I've got it. He's like, no. I'm going to call Rick. I'm like, okay, dude, call Rick. I'm like, wow. You know, I'm still spinning up the jacket. He's, you know, he's like, so why are you doing this? He's like, I wish I could do something like this, but my partner and I, we have to stay inside. Cause we're all a little bit older. Why are you doing this? And I was like, you know, man, I've been thinking about that as I've been using this shitty jack and dealing with your passive aggressive behavior. and I think I panicked. I didn't know what direction the world was going in, and I needed to do something that felt useful and productive.
Yeah.
Or I would have gone insane.
Yeah.
And he's like, I totally get that. He's like, if I could be out there doing something like what you're doing, I would be doing it. He's like, but I can't. At this point, Rick comes out. He's got a giant fucking Widowmaker, you know, like a hydraulic jack. Wow. This little old man has a hydraulic jack
and
battery powered work lights and
you
shit.
Do it, Rick. Yeah, bro.
And he's like, hey, he's like, so I got this jack and like blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wow, cool. Yeah, Rick. At this point, Patty comes out of her house because she's bringing half of her groceries to that other second refrigerator that old people have in the garage.
Yep.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And she's like, hey, Tony, what's going on? Is everything okay? And I was like, who the fuck calls me Tony except for my mother?
Oh, Tony's was, Afghan guy.
Tony is the guy who goes, oh, no, that's me. I'm Tony. And I was like, oh, I'm Anthony. He's like, oh, hey, that's funny. I was like, yeah, I guess. and she's like,
can I just say that in my neighborhood, my dad is Rick?
Oh, for sure.
When I was a kid, yeah.
Oh, your dad is definitely Rick.
Yeah, he's full on
100%.
Rick. 100%. Yeah.
Patty's and he says to Patty, oh, this guy got a flat tire on the 2 a couple minutes back, but don't worry, Rick's here. She's like, oh, good, you called Rick. Rick's got everything. Don't worry, we're all a little older here, but we take care of each other. You broke down the right place. Same thing I've heard, you know? Yeah. And she starts walking over. And at this point, I've got like this socially distant semicircle of like retirees around me.
Yeah.
As I'm jacking up, as Rick has now jacked up this car and I'm switching to the spare. And she goes, oh, you know, it's been really weird and it's been hard, but like, you know, we're making the best of it. She's like, I really appreciate you coming, you know, getting a flat tire. This isn't worth the $5 tip I gave you. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I was like, no, Patty, it would have happened. I don't think anything punctured it. I think it was just an old tire. It would have happened. She's like, I still feel bad. She's like,
I want this story to end with you having a weekly Zoom meeting with these folks that you've now become part of their community, and you, right? And Patty and Rick and Tony.
We're all friends now, you know. We send each other postcards.
You just Zoom every Thursday evening, you know. Yeah. And you guys all have cocktails.
I have to show them how to use Zoom every week though, because they're old. Like, but it's funny that you say that, because she was like, you know, every night we come out at like 6 o'clock. She's like, if you had broken down a couple hours earlier, you could have come. We do a social distance cocktail party where we all come out with a drink.
Of course they do.
And we stand like, you know, in a circle like 10 feet away from each other, and we talk about the day in the world and how we're feeling and how our family's doing. And
these people are adorable. I love them.
They're absolutely adorable. And she goes, but you know, like, my husband can't even like come out. I won't even let him come out and be part of the party. And I was like, how come? And she's like, well, he's got respiratory issues and he's at high risk. And so I don't want him leaving the house. And I'm like, you know what? Hold on. And I go into my car and I get the N95 masks.
Ah, oh, dude.
And I put them down and I go,
cry.
I put them down and I go, listen,
God damn it.
These are the good masks. I can't donate them. I already checked, but you should have them. I don't need them. She's like, these are like 10 of these. I don't need these. I was like, just pass them around. You're all old. You can have your cocktail party and wear your mask and feel a little bit safer. And, you know, I changed my tire and they're like, okay. And Rick's like, listen, if you need to go and like get the tires like changed now, or like get air put them in them or whatever. You go down the road about a half a mile, you turn left. There's like a family owned gas station. They're honest. They'll take care of you. And I was like, thank you, Rick. I really appreciate it. I'm just going to go to this last delivery because it's only a minute away. Then I'm going to go home on the spare. I'll call AAA tomorrow, whatever. And they're like, okay. And as I'm about to leave, Patty tries to hand me $20. And I'm like, no. I was like, number one, Patty, don't try to directly hand me anything right now. Yeah. And I was like, and number two, honestly, one thing that this has made me realize is I'm okay for a little while. Let's all just hold on to, let's help where we can, but hold on to what we have. So we, you know what I mean? And she's like, okay. She's like, listen, if you feel like you have to keep doing this, if it makes you feel like you're doing something, if it makes you feel better, if it makes you feel like you have some control, you should do it. But if you don't need to anymore, I don't think you should. I think you should take care of yourself. Because the more you go out there, the more you put yourself in danger. And like I was saying earlier, a $5 tip and some groceries for somebody are not worth that. Mm. And I was like, okay, thank you, Patty. Thanks, guys. I get in my car, I go to drive away, and I just start crying.
Yeah.
I just start crying. Mm. It was the strangest, most dystopian night, but also like, I was just like, oh, the helpful stranger.
Yeah.
The helpful stranger still exists.
Yeah.
And most people by default are the helpful stranger. Yeah. And I think
what do they say? People are awful in groups, but amazing individually. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You get enough people together and they pretty much are terrible. But if you meet them one-on-one, they're almost always great.
Well, and it all depends on like context and like which way you nudge it too, right? Like yeah. Tony and I, like Tony came at me from a weird space because he was a little afraid, right? And I took that energy and I decided to give it right back to him.
Right.
Instead of being like, oh, this is just an old guy walking his dog who's worried.
Yeah.
Because obviously this looks and sounds weird. He's okay to ask questions.
Yeah.
You know, but I just gave it right back to him. Whereas like we were both basically friendly people.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what I think when you're talking about, like, I wonder what happens when food genuinely gets short and when supplies genuinely get short. And I'd like to think that there are enough like kind and cool heads among us all to make sure that we're all just like going, you know, when people say our baser instincts, I really think we have two different I think there are two of those. I think there's a base instinct to be kind and there's a base instinct to be for self-preservation.
Yeah,
I think they're both, and I think, you know, there are so many, we've done so many science stories and we know that like biologically and theoretically, really only the survival one is at the base level. But I really do feel like we've evolved to the point where they're almost equal now. You just have to learn to, listen to the good one.
That's the tricky part. I'm so glad you told that story because it's a great reminder to listen to that other instinct. And I also am very glad because I will say to our listeners that, you know, Anthony is notoriously misanthropic and the version of him you hear is, you know, the version I know. The Anthony Carboni I know is the one that
so much fucking worse than what
gives those N95 masks. You know, that's the guy I know. And I, it's nice to share that a little bit with the audience.
Yeah. And now I know where like 6 weak, wealthy old people live.
And you're taking the Death Yaris back when it gets repaired.
And when this shit goes full purge. They'll open the door for me because I'm a kind face.
You're saying that you got some sick, sick hydraulic jack that we can get, some great lights. You just scoped it all out.
So, you know, we did say one of the things, we haven't had a huge discussion about it, but one thing that we did, we both kind of have on our mind is how much of this show is going to be about what's going on right now.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that we really wanted to make sure of is we will talk about what's going on in the world right now because we have to. And that's part of the cathartic process of doing this. And I think we do all need information about this, and we need information about this from people that we I don't want to say trust us, because you should never trust us. Do not trust us. But I would say, like, here's what I'm going to get at is, here's the type of information we want to give. We want to give stories like the story of that guy who tried his best. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
That's what absolutely. We want during this.
Yeah.
And there's enough other stuff going on in the world right now it's stupid or funny, and it's still the world. And, you know, you can let us know how much you want to hear about it, but that's kind of, I think, where we're coming from.
Yeah, we're all going through this together, and I think one of the things that I've tried to remember through all of this is that it's still okay to laugh, you know? And we kind of have to. So Anthony and I are back, and we hope that we can give you a little laugh once a week at least, and talk about stuff that makes us all recognize that we're all in this together. We're all experiencing it at the same time, and it's crazy and bizarre and hard to wrap our brains around. But the world has those pockets all the time, and we see how crazy and inscrutable and mind-blowing the world is all the time, and there's something comforting about the fact that we're all observing that and chuckling at it together.
Absolutely. So we are going to be back every Friday. Today is a late Friday release because it's our first week back, but you can expect it like clockwork when you wake up in the morning and scream internally and then check your phone because you're doing unhealthy things. Stop checking your phone first thing in the morning.
Anthony, have we ever done anything like clockwork? I don't think that you can make that claim.
Yes, we're going to do it. This is once a week now. We can't do it once a week when nothing else is literally going on in the world, Jeff.
Sure,
we need to look inside at that point.
I like it. Let's be optimistic.
Every Friday, like clockwork. If you want to join us on the Facebook group, please do. Facebook.com/group/WeHaveConcerns. You can also join the Discord if you are one of our patrons. That's patreon.com/WeHaveConcerns. And that's from the dollar level and above. So we're practically giving that Discord away. You can also follow us on Twitter. I'm at @acarboni.
I'm at @jeffcanada.
And if you see any stories that you enjoy, you can put them on any of those places except for Twitter. Twitter yep. sucks. Or you can send them to wehaveconcernedshow@gmail.com. We are very happy to be back, and we are very happy to be going through this with all of you concerned citizens. We'll see you next Friday.